The building known as the birthplace of the Republican Party lost its status as a National Historic Landmark when it was moved to a new home in Ripon. It's Wednesday, April 19th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Sarah Lear has a remembrance of state archaeologist James Skibo, who died last week. And we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life celebrating Earth Day. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Governor Tony Evers has declared a state of emergency across all of Wisconsin due to a high risk of flooding. Above average temperatures caused a rapid snowmelt last week, followed by heavy snowfall in the northwestern part of the state. Now temperatures are back above freezing, and there's a high chance for rain to fall in the next few days. Several rivers and streams have already risen to flood stage, according to the governor's executive order. That order directs the Wisconsin National Guard, State Patrol, and other divisions to provide assistance with flooding response anywhere in the state if it's needed. The building known as the birthplace of the Republican Party has a new home. But as Joe Schultz reports, that has caused it to lose its status as a National Historic Landmark.
The Little White Schoolhouse was relocated this week from a spot near downtown Ripon to a commercial corridor. The National Register of Historic Places warned last month moving the building would result in the immediate loss of its place on the registry. Mandy Kimes is with the Ripon Chamber of Commerce, which owns the schoolhouse.
It was our understanding that the National Registry often follows the recommendation of the state, and so we really felt like we had done all due diligence.
Timothy Bachleitner is with the Fond du Lac County GOP. He says he's frustrated with the chamber's actions.
They were going to move it without the community finding out that it was immediately being delisted as it went down the road.
The chamber plans to appeal the National Register's decision. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Farmer groups and federal lawmakers from Wisconsin are weighing in on their priorities for this year's Farm Bill. The federal legislation provides funding for a wide range of food and ag programs, from crop insurance to food assistance. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin hopes that her bill providing grant funding for private wells will make it into the legislation. She says the funding will help well owners pay for testing and installing filtration systems as more communities in the state find contamination.
Several communities have found PFAS contamination. And I also want to point out that there's certainly other contaminants we have in our water, lead in systems with lead pipes, nitrates, manure, etc.
Wisconsin farmer groups are hoping to see a change to the milk pricing formula. An update in the 2018 Farm Bill caused some producers to lose money during the pandemic. The current Farm Bill expires this fall. Wisconsin is mourning the loss of a man friends referred to as the People's Archaeologist. As Sarah Lear reports, state archaeologist James Skibo died Friday after a diving incident near Madison.
The cause of the 63-year-old's death is still under investigation, but officials say he was found unresponsive during a routine dive on behalf of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Skibo became Wisconsin's state archaeologist in 2021. Before that, he taught at Illinois State University, where anthropologist Gina Hunter was his friend and colleague. She says Skibo was passionate about making higher education accessible to everyone.
He wanted to create a sense of curiosity in the public about, you know, how we can discover things about the past and to see the ways in which that makes our present more enriching.
Last year, Skibo was part of a dive team that pulled a 3,000-year-old canoe from Lake Mendota. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republicans on the state's finance committee killed state funding for the largest land conservation effort in Wisconsin history. GOP lawmakers objected to using $4 million under the state's land purchase program for the Pelican River Forest. The move is a setback for the state's plans to set aside 70,000 acres of forest land east of Rhinelander. Democratic State Representative Evan Goyke of Milwaukee says the process for reviewing objections is broken.
This and others have had months and months, if not years, of delay where there's been an objection and the project or the proposal languishes in the hallways of the Republican finance offices.
Lawmakers are supposed to schedule hearings about objections to projects, but Goyke says they failed to do that. A Republican co-chair on the committee says the process is not broken. GOP lawmakers say the state failed to properly consider local concerns about the project's effort on development. Wisconsin lawmakers did pass two bills yesterday that would prevent the state from banning gas-powered cars or appliances. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Republican lawmakers say they want to stop Wisconsin from following other states.
Seven states, including California, have announced plans to ban sales of gas-powered vehicles in the next two decades. Wisconsin isn't one of them, but Republicans in the state assembly said they want to proactively prevent future bans. Representative Ellen Schutt of Clinton co-authored the bills.
And right now, we do not have the use of electric facilities, or whether it's a lawnmower, weed whacker, or whatnot, to be able to charge them to be ready to go clean by a certain year. And I don't think the government should be mandating us to do that.
Governor Tony Evers said a ban on gas-fueled cars would not be good policy. He's previously released a clean energy plan that calls for incentives for buying electric. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life, just in time for Earth Day. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story for Earth Day, which happens to be this Saturday.
Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson helped organize the first Earth Day back in 1970 after growing concerns for the environment. Since then, it's been a day to celebrate our natural resources while also drawing attention to increasing threats to them. Madison writer Araceli Esparza wanted to take this Earth Day to do her own reflecting on Wisconsin's environment through poetry.
In a pink house in a small art studio. I liked these colors when I was a child, Mama said. Why, Rosita asked. Because they remind me of the sky, Mama answered. Tap, tap, her brush went, dotting many colors in the sky until we only saw one color, the light of day. That color was like the sun, like freshly picked corn. And there was a red color like the northern cranberries. Mama painted green lettuce-colored prairies and pointed trees. These colors together became a forest. In a swoop, she turns a trail into one color, snow. Like cows laughing in the snow, she paints the sky a blue-black where you can see every star, and she adds clouds because the nights are cold near the lakes. It looks like home, Rosita says. Pues, it does, Mama says. And she painted until the horizon met the dairy farms and the rolling hills of our home, the heartland.
Araceli Esparza is a writer who lives in Madison. After recording her poem, I asked Araceli what inspired her to write Earth Day in the Heartland.
What inspired me to write this poem was about Earth Day. I have seen so many of our youth on a global scale bringing attention to the environment and the protection thereof. And I wanted to use my platform to bring attention to this day and how we all care about the earth. I think sometimes there's a a misconception that only certain people who go hiking or people who are going boating or people who only eat at a co-op can participate in conservation of our planet. And that's just not true.
I love that you illustrate the love of the earth and the love of the environment and the celebration of Earth Day through this like really beautiful moment between a mother and her daughter.
Yeah, and painting, right?
And painting.
Like, how random.
I know. Why was the direction that you wanted to take?
I mean, I'm not a painter either, mind you. I'm a painter of words, perhaps. But these are all things that I felt like when I think about the landscape of Wisconsin and what ties us, what keeps our heart tethered here, are the rolling hills, the dairy farms, and just like going to some prairie for the corn fest, having everything cranberry-esque, like you're going to run across some cranberries if you're here. You're going to run across lettuce-colored prairies. The greenness of this environment of our Dane County, of like the state of Wisconsin, all of that is just that this green that I have introduced other people from other parts of the United States, and they're always amazed at like how green it is. And pointy trees, evergreens, right? They're just really a part of our landscape, and I wanted to pay homage to that. At the end, you know, she painted until the horizon met the dairy farms and the rolling hills of our home. It's like, this is our home. This is our new home, and we have all our responsibility to keep it safe, to sustain it. I feel like this is a poem that kind of, at least for parents to know too, that we care about you and what work you're doing, and it's hard work to impart climate awareness to our kids, but there are fun and easy ways of doing it.
Araceli Esparza is a writer who lives in Madison and is founder of Midwest Mujeres. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and of course, our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can always catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.